In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Maya Angelou is quoted as having said, "When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time." Now, this quote talks a lot about character, and it's about seeing someone for whom they really are. What it does not mean, and I think what no one should take something like this to mean, is that you should judge someone by one or two actions. Everyone is fallible. We all make mistakes. But it does mean that one can see consistent patterns and understand a person underneath. Now, the first thing that tends to happen is when we hear this quote, we tend to think of something negative. And that's probably what Angelou intended for it. But we could also, at the same time, understand it as a positive character trait. This is the fourth weekend of Lent. Tomorrow will be called Laetare Sunday. If we had rose-colored vestments, this would be one of the two rose Sundays a year. The word Laetare means rejoice, which is kind of a funny term to think about during Lent. We don't rejoice. We're all, you know, down bending and scraping and doing all that kind of stuff. But Laetare Sunday, this fourth week, is a time of reprieve from Lent. Sometimes people call it Refreshment Sunday, and it's that time that we can kind of take a little breather. Even though Sunday itself, of course, is also a feast day, it kind of gives us a little bit more of an edge. And it's a time that we can shift the theme a little bit. The theme of our season is, of course, about austerity, but we can shift it from our shortcomings to the idea of seeing the fullness of God's grace and mercy. St. Paul tells us in the letter to the Ephesians, which we heard this evening, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world." You were dead. It's kind of grim, right? Dead in trespasses. St. Paul tells us that humanity struggles when on its own. The path of sin is death. This is both physically and spiritually. If we are left to our own devices, we are too weak to redeem ourselves. So we bear that in mind a little bit. It's kind of a hard, heavy message. But then the passage kind of hinges. It changes. St. Paul sets us up for all that, and then Paul says, "But God, who is rich in mercy." We are dead to sin through our trespasses, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. That in itself is the good news. And this, getting back to Maya Angelou's quote, this tells us all about God's character. And it tells us that God's character is about being rich in mercy. This is the same God who created the world. And when God created the world, despite knowing all that would become of the world, knowing that there would be sin, knowing that there would be war, knowing exploitation and knowing cruelty, that same God, despite knowing all that, said, "It is good." This is not naivety on God's part. It's God knew, and it was not apathy. But it speaks to God's character of grace and mercy. Seeing the good through the bad. Perhaps one of the most well-known lines in Scripture is John 3:16, which I probably could say John 3:16, and almost everyone here could quote it without looking down. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Yes, we know this line. Think about what that says about God. What does that say about God? That God so loved the world that God would sacrifice a very part of God's self. And the next line goes, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And this is a reflection of what St. Paul would later write in Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that one may boast. That's an important point. Not the result of works, so that one may boast. You know, it is quite easy. It is an easy temptation for people of faith to talk about our faith as if it was something we did. I or someone close to me has done this, that charitable act. Or sometimes we might even put it on like a sense of piety to make it look that way, but it's kind of a masked bragging. I just gave it over to God. I really turned my life around when I turned to Jesus. I'm not saying we shouldn't give our life to Jesus or turn our problems to God. Of course we should. But to hear those self-reflective statements in there too. And we have to be careful as Christians to not fall into the trap of humble bragging. Make it sound like it was something we really did and that God was just there to kind of catch us. So glad I let God do that. You have to remember that first and foremost, the salvific action that Christ did was of God. It was God's own action. When Jesus says, those who believe in him shall not perish, it is a way of talking about how faith is our acceptation of such salvation. St. Paul says, for we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Yesterday, I was in Chicago, and I have a ritual when I go see my spiritual director. My ritual might sound a little bit funny, but I always stop at Metropolis Coffee on Granville, which is right around the corner from my spiritual director's office at Loyola. And I always pick up a bunch of coffee. Now, I realize they actually sell it locally here, but it's just my thing. Let's just roll with it. So I pick up 6 pounds of coffee every time I go. And yeah, I got there. I was a bit early. I had some time. And I said, I was looking, you know, down into the glass case, and they had some hand pies, you know, like pasty kind of things. And I looked at one. And I said, spinach and feta. That sounds pretty good. So I ordered one of those, too. Got my coffee, got my 6 pounds of coffee plus my coffee drink, and I ordered my spinach and feta hand pie. Well, I sat my stuff down and I heard something, something hand pie. I go up, I pick it up, go back to my table, take a bite, and it has squash in it. Now, it was quite tasty. But then I thought, oh, they gave me the wrong one. Nah, it's no big deal. I can just eat this one. It's fine. And then I hear somebody shout out, spinach and feta. Oh, I took someone else's. And then I look up, and there's this girl standing at the counter looking for her hand pie. Now, I walk up, and I said, I am so sorry. I just grabbed that one thinking it was mine. I will pay for hers. I am so sorry. And they go, no, no, this happens all the time. Don't worry about it. And I said, oh, come on, no, it was my mistake. Let me at least pay for hers, because I totally goofed that up. He said, don't worry about it. It's fine, if you're okay with that. And I said, well, I guess. And I said, well, I don't know, what are you going to do with the spinach and feta one? I mean, you can't put it back. And he said, no, don't worry about it here, just have it. So now, here I made a mistake. Here I did wrong. And I somehow get double the reward for doing wrong. Well, that's a lot like God's grace. It's nothing I deserved. In fact, I should have paid extra for it. But someone saw my error and returned it with kindness. Now, granted, it was an innocent mistake. But that's how God works. When we do wrong, God not only pardons, but God does one better. Now, this was, of course, an act of human kindness. And while it may have not been intended this way, it was very much a reflection of God's grace. Little did the barista know. This is what it means for us to be created in God's image. God created us in God's likeness, and through faith, we can live fully into that creation. Now, faith isn't always a declaration. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not even a conscious move. But faith is living in gratitude in God's image, living as God created us to live. God's character is to love fully. God goes out of God's way to bring us into that love. God forgives, God redeems, God returns kindness for evil. And when we live into our creation, we also love as God loved. Amen.